Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob challenges Scott and Becky with a secret wine to decipher. But this time, it's the world-famous Prisoner Wine Company's Red Blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's really good to be here.
Scott, on Mystery I have a question. Wine.
Yes?
This is the Triple B, obviously.
Is it?
Hello.
This is the new person. This
if
is Becky Baca.
If you had known that this was the episode that it is, would you have come out or would you have faked illness and stayed home?
Well, in honesty, I was forewarned that it was a mystery wine episode, so I have to be honest and say I'm here.
Well, in truth, I gave Becky options. You know what she said?
I didn't want to make a decision.
So, ergo, mystery wine it is, and oh, what
but
a mystery wine.
But some of the choices
is.
Were like Israel versus Italy.
Or would you prefer Grenache?
Because
we have
one?
80 bottles of Grenache. What's that?
There was another episode. Some cab something.
Yeah, just cabs. I mean, there's like Dry Creek Cab. You didn't want to drink that.
That was not an option.
Bernardo would be by El Emigio. El Emigio. That'll be great when we do that. But yeah, Dry Creek Cab. It was. I have a bottle of Camus in there. Stuff like that is. But you're not interested in that. So instead, on tonight's show, we have a secret wine. And I believe everybody remembers how this is scored. Everybody at home probably has written the rules down because they probably play it at home. If you do that,
yeah,
maybe you should try the game Monopoly or Clue or a murder mystery because those are a little more entertaining. But nevertheless, on our Guess the Wine Challenge, we'll just call it that, we have categories for points. And Becky and Scott, are you going to compete against each other tonight or are you going to work collaboratively? I think you should compete against each other,
personally.
I think
we should collaborate.
Stop.
That was on earlier. I was blasting it.
Really?
Yes. Well, the points, never mind. It doesn't matter if they're going to collaborate or not. We'll figure that out here shortly. But if they can guess the varietal, that's 20 points.
Okay.
If they guess where is it from, generally.
We're working together. Yeah. I feel like we have to.
That's 10 points to guess that. And then, I mean, with that, it's like Europe, South America, North America, big areas. And then
Earth.
If they guess where it's really, really from, that's 20 points. That'd be France, Spain, Italy, Cali, etc. Washington.
Etc.
Finger Lakes.
I have a question.
I'm sure you do. And then
could we do like Italy for 10 points, or Europe for 10 points, but then for 20 points, say Cali, and then for 20 points, say...
No, because that's stupid.
It's not though, is it?
So what was he didn't let you finish before he interrupted.
I know. And then I was trying to think of where's Apatagua from? What's that we love? What's the region it's from?
Well, San Antonio Valley, but there's some of their products are from Colchagua Valley.
Colchagua. But what if
it's from Asia?
But that's what I was going to say. Can we do like Colchagua Valley, Napa?
If you're going to remember Colchagua Valley here in 25 minutes when you make your guesses, probably not. Further details, that would come under that. And that's guessing the AVA. That's guessing the oaking. It could be anything. That's more of a potpourri thing. Accurate details.
That should be like 30 points for that level of accuracy. But, it's your game. Then doesn't need to make sense.
Doesn't matter. But never for you. Yeah. But you can. It's 10 points for each thing you get right.
Okay.
And then pricing. If they get within $2, that's 10 points. If they get within $5, that's 5 points. So that's the whole gamut of the scoring for the show. It's very exciting for you all that remembered that because you've had to listen to it every time. But I have to say it because they don't know, even though it's written on a dry erase board behind us, and it's there every show.
Okay. It's okay. I just want to say
I'm sure you do.
That you're really arrogant, and this is
yes.
such a challenging thing to do.
Is it challenging because I'm arrogant? You haven't.
Challenging because you have, you're arrogant.
Well, thank you.
I think that I feel an injury coming on.
Well, you will, because you haven't drank it. You haven't drank it yet.
I feel an injury coming on. I think I feel the same way you do about this injury, but we're not talking about our injuries, are we?
I could take both of you at the same time. Nevertheless, trust me, drink the wine, then you'll.
You know who can take you is Luke.
Yes, Luke can take me because he's a tank.
So Luke is our newly 4-year-old son. For anyone who's
we just got him.
No, he turned 4.
Oh, okay.
So he started doing this thing where he basically parkours off the wall and yells "Street fight!"
And it turns into a fist fight. He's swinging on me. He's tough. I mean, he is
really tough.
He is just tough. He takes William down. William wants no part in him because he won't stop. And he also beat the living shit out of Henry in the shower tonight. It was naked. But he was so mad that he was in the shower, he was slamming on the door. Then Henry came in and he just started swinging on Henry. And Henry's like, "Oh my God, you hit me in the nuts." And it's like, "Luke, I'm mad at you."
Luke, he doesn't care how big. He'll just take you.
You're picking on me because I wasn't. That was Dad. Fight him. So I was also holding the door shut so he couldn't come out after me. I don't want a naked, wet Luke. We were pretty sure the water was warm when we threw him in there.
I've got just a point to make.
Do you?
If you don't want a naked, wet Luke, then don't put your child in the shower.
Okay. How should I clean him? With a hose?
Well, you said you didn't want a naked, wet Luke.
Well, I didn't want him attacking me.
Well, that's always an option.
Mm-hmm.
He is your son.
That's right.
He knows you.
Well.
Therefore, he attacks you.
That's true. When we come back, we are going to get into this wine and just have a big ball of fun. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the mystery wine. I am going to read excerpts from one of the published reviews, okay?
Yes! This is Wilford. This is exciting because I did review this wine, but I said the name of the wine too many damn times. But I did lie. In my review, I suggested that I have wine pals, my closest wine pals, and I don't have any of those.
Damn it, Wolf.
They're all dead. They died in 1937 when they were all 100 years old. And, you know, they also died of the plague and in the War of 1812. It's strange. I don't know. Maybe my friends are actually imaginary or they're ghosts. I don't know.
Imaginary.
I don't like ghosts. Scott, do you like ghosts?
Only the imaginary ones.
Oh, well, good. Then I'll read my review later because I've fucked it all up. But still, I did review this wine. So that's exciting for you, I'm sure, Scott.
No.
Oh, you can cross-reference and look through all my reviews on wine.com and find what we're drinking tonight if you were so inclined. But I'm sure you're not, Sarah.
Anyway, I am going to allow the guests now to get into the wine.
Are you talking about us?
Yes, the guests, the drinkers, the reviewers, the contestants.
What just happened?
The review?
No, I'm not going to read the review. Because I looked at it again, and he says the damn name all the way through it. So
you can't read it and bleep it out?
Oh, you want me to bleep it out? Okay, I'll
just
try
go
to bleep
beep.
It out. Okay, I'll try. But he does get bleeped out most. No, I can't say that. I got to look through it. No, can't say it. Jesus. Okay, here we go.
Many of my closest wine pals...
I'm not going to listen.
Oh, good. Also decried that the wine... Bleep. While this wine... Bleep. With the standard threshold... Bleep. This wine is pretty tasty. In a dry... Bleep. This is their best effort to date. Damn it. I can't say any of that either. Jesus. Pair it with a grilled baby back ribs. I said that. It's exciting.
That's not much of a review, Wilfred.
Well, even without the bleeps.
Share it with baby back ribs.
It's not very good either. Well, yes, but I say that for Chardonnay. Or what? It doesn't matter. If it has mango chutney on it, I'm eating it. So.
I was going to say before we...
That includes human flesh, by the
way.
Okay,
can I... What I was going to say is that the coloring of the wine is pretty dark, brickish hue.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Wilfred wrong.
What?
You.
Why?
Wilfred wrong. Thank you.
That's not very nice.
And what glasses are we drinking this out of?
We are drinking this out of the tasting glasses that are mystifying because they could be many things. New World Syrah.
Okay.
Yes.
The nose is dark fruit, oaking. It smells like American oak, but we'll see whenever we drink it. I feel like there's maybe some kind of nice... like violet in there. I'm trying to smell it with my eyes shut. I don't know why that's. Maybe it'll make my nose.
I'm concentrating. Don't interrupt me.
It's like when you're driving around and you turn the music down so you can focus. That's true.
At least you're
saying. Will you turn the music down so I can focus?
I thought it was down.
No, I can still hear it.
It's rock steady.
I was trying to see if I could get anything like a cigar box or tobacco, and I don't know that I really do. I don't think I get either of those. Do you?
It's just not much of a nose. There's some kind of sweet fruit, vanilla from the oaking.
Yeah.
It
does smell like American oak, though, right?
I personally think this wine should be easy for you. But then again, I thought Vranic should be easy for you.
Every time that you talk, you do that to make us more annoyed with not being able to guess it.
Yes, that's right. But no, I think you will be able to. Well, maybe not exactly, but I think you'll pretty much get close.
I don't know that there's much of a tell in the nose.
Have we drank this before?
I don't know. I don't know where you go every night. Maybe you go in the dark places. Who knows what you do?
This has a definite black licorice.
It does. I will concur with all of your beliefs on the nose, especially the American oak. I smell that. Kind or maybe I don't.
I have back started in there drinking
kind of
it.
Maybe. It's kind of hard to argue. What's that?
I concur with that black licorice in there. Other than that, it's...
Wait, so you taste
not
it.
Not much in there. It's fairly nondescript nose, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Aha. Oh-ho.
Not the darkest thing. Nice legs.
I bet everybody loves this.
It's kind of pretty in the glass.
I don't think black licorice.
No, not so much. Red licorice, maybe, but not black licorice on the palate. But I can't, you know. Bing
no,
cherry.
I'm saying it does taste like black licorice. I don't like black licorice.
I don't know. I don't know if I... Well, licorice, yes. I think more like red rope licorice and Bing cherry.
No, and then there's something towards the finish.
That's my first taste.
What is that? I guess it's prune at the end of the mid palate into the finish, right?
Yeah,
something along that line. Some kind of stewed fruit thing, prune, plum, like a. It's quite nice, actually. You know, it's not incredibly oaky on the finish.
It's not. I'm surprised by that because the oaking seemed pretty pronounced in the nose.
Mm-hmm. And one thing we're going to do tonight before we reveal it, we're going to get a preliminary score from everybody. Well, okay. I already know. I won't give my score. But
there's something else that I've had before that I'm tasting on the finish. What is that?
P.F. Chang's? No. I'm just throwing out random things.
That transition from that, whatever it is on the front palate, Rob called it like a Bing Cherry Fair, where it transitions into that prune or that stewed prune, that stewed fruit. It's a really nice fruit transition. It really goes from one place to another. I quite like that.
So a little bit of cinnamon, I think, that peeks through there too, right in the mid palate as it finishes out.
With that
light spice cinnamon.
Stewed fruit thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's slightly tannic. And when the tannins start to come in, there is the flavor that I am trying to identify. It's not, I don't know, it's not overly tannic or anything like that. Just a little bit at the end.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for
Similarly, no, agreeing. I'm with you. It's similarly not oaky either. Mm-mm. So if this were more oaked, I don't think the tannins would present as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that any of this discussion is helping us identify what this is.
No, I agree.
Because it's more about how it's being made, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe
let's eliminate
end,
things.
Maybe at the first. End, it's,
Chardonnay.
It is a little bit Fig Newton-y at the finish. Yeah. That might be what I'm...
Yeah, I don't know that we ever
spicy
said.
Prune. Maybe I mean one. Yeah, I could see where that with the cinnamon coming through.
Plainly,
yeah.
This is maybe a red wine. I don't think we said that yet.
Oh yeah, it is a red wine.
I didn't know if you. Knew
I
that.
Did say it was brickish in color. I did.
I think
say
you
that.
Said you think it brick-ish? Was. You talked about the color too.
Dark, but
yeah.
Well, they would probably
and I would
should
say it's
be red.
Medium bodied.
Yeah, it's not a full bodied wine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not really even. Towards
Mm-mm.
full
Mm-mm.
body.
Yeah, pretty medium.
Anything we care to eliminate? So there's...
it's not a cab.
I'm not, you know, think Bing Cherry, that could be a couple different things, but
okay.
Typically,
tell me some things you're thinking.
Typically you would... think Pinot Noir, but I don't get a Pinot Noir vibe on this.
No, I don't either.
I mean, if it is, it's... But that's probably our biggest indicator.
No books. No reading.
Oh,
that's
we can read.
That's cheating.
It is not cheating.
Yes, it is.
I do not think this is a Pinot. I think it's too dark in coloration. And I think the oaking is too prominent.
Although it's not full-bodied, it's medium-bodied, it's not. It doesn't have that lighter, lithier feel that we'd expect from a Pinot.
Would you? I was
regardless
trying to
of
think,
its origin.
Sometimes I do better if I think about what country I think it could be from, and think of like varietals that it would be the most likely to be. That oaking is kind of throwing me.
I don't think we should let it. Similar to, you know, that the where the tannins are, it's not the most tannic thing, but we wouldn't even recognize that if it was oak. I almost think like we should
you think it's
get
American
those things
oaking?
Out of our
That's why I was,
wheelhouse.
If it's American
it doesn't really...
oaking, then we know it's American.
Well,
if it's...
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I mean... I guess that would be a fair assumption.
Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of eliminate, if it's American oaking, it's probably not a Tempranillo. It's probably not a Monastrell. So, I don't know. What do you think? It's probably not a Chianti.
Chianti? It's not that either.
A Chin. I can't even.
Mm.
It's a pretty easy drinker. So let me say this. I think it's a pretty easy drinker. I don't know that it's a universally appealing wine, though. Because the whatever that fig prune thing is, plus the black licorice, those are not always like beloved flavors in wine.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it's a good wine. I don't know that it's universally appealing. It's very, if you like this wine, it's very drinkable, though.
Could become, to some people, it might seem overripe, perhaps.
And I think...
Some people, meaning you?
That fig reference draws me more to that cooked red fruit, like in a cookie almost, like like towards, not exactly a fig Newton, but you know, you get some figs or some dates or something in a dessert.
About dates.
It's kind of there, and I think that goes along with that. Rob said cinnamon. I'm almost like
mold. Nutmeg. Slightly mold.
Maybe.
Yeah, mold. It's like a mold kind of.
Think how good.
Mold?
Mold. Yeah, it's not moldy, but
that's
mold.
What I thought you said,
like a mold.
M-U-L-L.
Like a mold.
Yeah. Wine.
How you would mull a wine. How you would put the spices together to mull a wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know the dish that they make at the Pearl that we've made, but where it's like a date?
Yes, Devils on Horseback.
Yes.
No, they got a date with, it's a bacon wrapped date and it has blue cheese in it.
Yes.
No. Yeah,
delicious.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what it reminds me of. That was immediately like, it would be so good with
savory,
it.
Savory, sweet. Mm-hmm. Kind of, yes, but that also has brown sugar doused all over it, too.
I mean, those are like candy. Yeah. They're so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, with savory elements. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Actually, that is a really good comp.
You know where it also goes to me almost?
Huh.
Like a balsamic vinegar glaze. It's like headed towards that kind of level of savory fruit, per se.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see that. But you could reduce that.
I mean, it's not a one-note pony, but it's not the most complex.
Maybe a three-note pony. Yeah. Maybe. Four-note.
Yeah.
The spice, the savory fruit thing.
I'm so surprised how much this is growing on me. Cherry. I do feel like if I had to just give you my gut thoughts on what it is, I would say Grenache. If you were like, say an answer right this second, I would say Grenache.
Well, okay.
But we definitely need to talk through it. And
I think here's what we're going
to do. Are you just saying that because we have like 85 Grenaches in there and I'm trying to thin the herd?
I think here's what we're
going to do.
No. I think that's a good reason.
No, because I have a slight curl to my stomach that I often get when I drink Grenaches. Yeah. I also feel like you love to give a Grenache when I don't know what it is so that you can try to sneak it in.
He does that.
Mm.
He's known to do that.
I can sneak other things in too.
Here's what we're going
to
do.
Are we allowed to ask questions?
Yes, you can.
Here's what we're going to do.
Are we have a limit?
Yes. Yeah. Three. No. I'll give you three questions.
We ask as many questions as we want. We're taking control of this game.
Yeah. Total.
So, you know what else we're going to do?
Hmm.
We're going to work together and put out two offerings of what we think this is.
Okay.
But we're going to do them together.
So interesting, because you don't really have any clue.
We absolutely have no clue.
No,
that's plainly obvious.
Becky has a bit of a clue. You have zero clue, I can tell.
What did we have dinner night and I basically guessed it?
Well, you had Ferre Carano.
Yeah,
you guessed. Well, she guessed a Ferre Carano Cabernet. Let's be frank, that's what she guessed. So.
And it was right.
Yeah, it was Ferre Carano Cabernet.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well,
when was the last time you'd had Ferre Carano?
Well, she asked plenty of questions, but I don't know, maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
A couple years. No, not
we
not
were
long.
On a Ferrari Carano kick, but we've been off it a little bit.
We probably have it once a year. Because last time I bought it, we were at like a Total Wine. They had it for $24 a bottle. So I bought some of that. But I haven't, I don't know, just haven't gotten around to it. It's like 34, 35. So things like Guntlach, Bunchu, and Edge have come into my life, too.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, those are cheaper. Those are, you know, $15 cheaper. Are they as good as Ferre Carano? That's debatable, but still. Maybe I'll just spend all my money on Jordan. And the American Jordan. Just both. Or just I'll buy some silver.
Are you going to take wine on our trip?
I don't think that would be... I mean, I'll drink wine on the trip, but I'm not sure how it would...
I know. Transport.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well...
We'll be in New York City.
As long as you... I mean, you take like 4, 5, 6 bottles and then you take it in the hotel room with you. Don't leave it in overnight. It should be fine.
I don't know what we'll do. I'll have to think about it. I will ponder the idea.
I mean...
You know, I'll take some of your Grenache that you brought.
What was that? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
Somebody told me So we are driving through New Hampshire. Mm. Someone told me that their liquor and wine prices are very low. They don't have a state tax on them.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
It's all made with maple syrup, but still.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, well, that's
well you just want to go through there to get maple syrup. I know that.
Okay, so talk me through Grenache. Why do you think Grenache? What's making you think Grenache? Other than the fact that wine guy is
the curl in your stomach?
That's literally it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a Petite Sirah, but I wonder if it does have some Petite Sirah in it because it's basically black. I mean, it's really dark. I don't taste any pencil lead, though, but... Oh, here's a question. Is this a blend or a single varietal?
It is... Not a single varietal.
Okay.
Meaning that there isn't more than 75% of a single varietal in this wine. I'm going by the American standards, although Bordeaux does it too. Although I don't think you're going to mistake it for a Bordeaux, but maybe it is. Maybe it's the most unusual Bordeaux you've ever had. This is actually what Petrus tastes like. I just want to sneak this in for you. This is Petrus. Yeah. It's slightly aged. I mean, it's a, you know, 2001 Petrus. Just, you know, why not? strangely enough, this is what a Grand Cru Burgundy
tastes.
So
you said that, sorry, my sister messaged me.
That's all
right. So you were saying it's when it's not a single varietal.
I don't believe it would not be considered a single varietal.
So that means it doesn't have at least 75% of something.
That's right.
But this is where, you know, he's applying the American standard.
Am I?
Ugh,
but
so
is he?
It does not say a single varietal on the label. How's that?
But is he stating that to be tricky to make us go towards American, where it's from designation?
Mm. Yeah.
Talk more about why you think it's Grenache.
I've never had a wine from Morocco before. I think this is exceptional. No.
Bullets, daggers.
Moldova, wasn't that the last
one? See, I expect...
Where was the last one?
Moldova, I think.
Was it Slovakian?
No, Hungarian? It was Moldovian. Moldovian.
I just...
No, really, what was it?
It was Moldovian. It was a Moldovian Vranic.
I think that the Grenache, obvious, for me... It would be a little more beastly than this, a little more rustic than this, and not as...
It is opened up. It's a little bit different tasting to me now. There's that flavor that I can't identify that I feel like is fig.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a little bit of a... To me, it's almost a sticky flavor.
Figgy pudding.
Yeah. It's a
lot more prominent.
It's like fruit. Christmas Eve. Although the last wine I drank on Christmas Eve all by myself was a Cedarman, and I passed out watching Die Hard.
We had a Cedarman last week.
This year?
No, it was a couple years ago.
I remember that story.
I don't know. All I know is I drank a whole bottle of Cedarman by myself watching Die Hard, and I passed out. You said,
so
I don't...
My leg was broken.
Probably. No, this was long ago. I mean, wait a second. I drink wine on every Christmas Eve. The last time I passed out watching Die Hard on Christmas Eve, it was drinking Cedarman.
I don't think I've seen Die Hard.
What?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Those are great movies. I don't know if you'd like them, but they're great movies.
Yeah.
Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's different. It's not the same as the other ones. It's a completely different movie. Matter of fact, it was called Simon Says was the screenplay, and they adapted it to a Die Hard movie. They put John McCain in it, John McClane in it. That will make it die. And so basically it was, but I like the movie.
Hmm.
That was the only one I ever saw in the theater because the other ones were a little bit before my time.
Well,
So
you've never made a Bruce Willis retrospective?
What? Yeah, I've watched all of them. I've only watched Die Hard
at the theaters, sir.
Oh no, I'm not. I'm not a huge. I mean, I don't love them. I like them. How's that sound? I've not really watched Die Hard 2 very much. I don't even know if I've watched it completely.
Are we allowed to look in the Wine Folly or not?
Yes, we can do whatever we want.
Apparently.
Let's look up Grenache and see what it says.
Okay.
Just the standard.
All I know is this has sulfites in it because I can feel my ears heating up under my headphones.
Something that I was thinking about Grenache, I am not the encyclopedia of wine like Rob is.
Slow down. I mean, I know things, but I wouldn't call myself an encyclopedia.
Well, something I was thinking about.
So that's modesty.
I don't know. about blending it. That's where I'm.
Oh, but Grenache is a oft blend.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much.
So I think it fits the fruit profile.
And if I'm not mistaken, I feel like Grenache is often it's usually dark in color. I think I would almost guess this has Petite Sirah on it based on the color, but I think Grenache is one of the ones that's like a later harvest and it has a darker coloration in it compared to especially Pinot. That's what I was thinking about on the other end.
Can I answer a question? This is not Pinot.
I know it's not, but I'm saying in comparison to Pinot.
Well, sure.
What was your question?
It's so much darker. There was no question.
Okay.
Well, Scott thought it was Pinot earlier.
No, I was eliminating Pinot, sir.
Oh, okay.
Good. So the Grenache fruit profile.
Yeah.
Stewed strawberry.
Uh-huh.
Grilled plum. Fits what we've described over and over, even though it's changing a little.
Anything like
leather.
Anise. Is that how you say it?
It's how I say it. I don't know if it's correct or not.
There's some spice.
Okay.
Leather, dried herbs, blood orange. And I think
I was looking that blood for orange, something like a leather in there. And maybe this is just a little bit of a not as expensive of a Grenache to get the leather. I don't know.
You can get those spices that could be similar to leather. It's not the same thing, but could be.
What do they blend Grenache with? Does it say?
Syrah.
Yeah, Syrah would be where I'd go with the blend. That's then. That's kind of sort of what I was thinking. And so, what can you get from Syrah?
Yeah, let's look.
Mourvèdre.
That's a
Prosecco,
Spanish
port.
No, I mean that's the Syrah Mourvèdre to the lots of other different little things, but those are the main.
French.
I'm sure people blend Grenache with
everything,
like a giraffe's urine. But I mean, it's
and
like. But let's not talk about Fry
of
Brothers.
This show, I'm guessing that you've picked. Just open the page to something random, and then we can figure out what Rubs blended it with.
Blueberry, plum,
because I blend
milk
it myself.
Chocolate, tobacco, green peppercorn. This is Wine Folly, folks, for Syrah.
I was looking when I was looking. I mean, like searching with. I don't taste anything vegetal. Do you?
No. No, 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 no. You know, so also the additional tasting notes.
You probably need more wine.
Love it. We're definitely enjoying.
Yeah.
The wine, if not necessarily the
I would also say this isn't my normal. I would not normally pick this wine, but I'm a fan of it. And I feel like probably even more reason why it's something like a Grenache, because I would never pick that, but I am enjoying it.
So.
Rolling my eyes at you, Rob Dern.
I'm happy.
Back to Wine Folly's additional tasting notes.
Yeah.
Spice, clove, cinnamon, black pepper, black tea, licorice.
There it is. What was that again? Syrah?
Grenache.
Oh, Grenache. There we go.
Clove, cinnamon, black pepper, black tea, licorice.
How much wine did you have before we started?
Nothing, but I did do a lot of heroin.
Primary, black fruit, grilled plum.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Mm.
Unrelated to the wine. Did you tell the listeners what we're drinking before?
Yes.
Oh, so there. I always wonder, and I would absolutely love to hear, if our listeners are like, you idiots.
Yeah,
this is a. How are you not guessing it?
They're not the only ones. That's just.
Yeah. But it's so funny because sometimes I'll listen to a podcast and they'll be looking for a word, or they'll be talking about a movie or a book. Uh-huh. And you're like in your car and you're like, you idiot. This is what you're trying to think of. Uh-huh. And it. So I'm sure our listeners are like, you idiots.
Becky, you're going to go. Shut up. When you find out what this is.
Really?
Or not. One of the two.
Okay. So we think. Are you saying, Scott, for you, would you say you think it's a Grenache, you think it's a Syrah, you think it's...
Well, there's another one I'm going to read to you.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Okay.
Grenache, where do you think from Grenache? So you go France. Where's country number two that you think of? For me, I think of Spain.
I don't think this is Spanish.
What's a varietal that we love from Spain?
Tempranillo.
Yes.
You think this is a Grenache Tempranillo?
I don't know. Let me
okay.
Let me read
I'm
going
to try to.
The Tempranillo fruit profile. Cherry, dried fig, cedar, tobacco, dill. Okay, we're not going to go dill.
Dill. The only reason I would not say Tempranillo is because I don't think it's big enough bodied for it.
I agree, but we're talking a blend.
Why are you laughing?
I find things funny. I'm weird. Well, I'm going to have to press you for a decision because I'm actually dying of old age.
How many blends are these? Is in this? How many blends?
Is it three varietals?
That's too many.
No, that's just one second question. I like it for three.
I think if we could get, if you gave us 25 points, if you were like, it's 60, 30, 10, already, and we got it.
I'm not actually going to give you.
Don't you think that should
you,
be like 100 points?
I'm not going to give you any points right now. You have got what? Zero. No, I'm just joking. It is.
I like it.
It's, well.
Let me see the wine folly.
It's five different things. But
five?
You've got, yeah, it's five. But who knows? Some of those might be trace amounts. Well,
then
you
maybe
know.
There's Tempranillo in it. Maybe there is.
You know, there might be trace amounts. You know, maybe I just snuck the arsonist back in.
You wouldn't be drinking it as fast as
no,
you are.
No, nobody would be. Oh, by the way, folks, last week, well, the last episode, we did have one, all of us, Cam Blau. Cam Blau apparently is a great wine, by the way, is a cursed wine because we had technical difficulties where we recorded through the computer, not our mics. Ergo, Cam Blau sounds like shit. We also had a wonderful production of Pro V Con. So, sorry about that, but we're going to release that in some fashion at some point, probably on our website. So be checking out by that. I'll let you know as soon as we do that, and you can listen to it on there. And it's just too embarrassing to put it on Libsyn. So, you know, sounds like shit.
I do think it's important that our listeners know that the wine guy is the tech person, not
I would also like to point out so the listeners know, neither Scott or Becky have any idea how any of the things on the computer or GarageBand or what we do works.
I've played with it with you, not
have,
successfully.
You, if I said, if I had everything unplugged and turned off, hey guys, go down and get us ready for the show, I could tell Bo, and Bo has more experience.
Well, more knowledge.
Yes, and
experience. Do you think there's any black tea in this? That's untasting.
Literally
the
or
so
the taste?
And I'm wondering if that, where
you
I thought
pass
there might
me the
be,
decanter over there?
Where there might be a touch of tannins if instead that's black tea.
Would you guys figure it out? Otherwise, I'll never be able to read my review in its entirety. You can read all those pages in that book. You should have read all those things before you came tonight. It wouldn't have helped, I don't think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
What do you think?
They don't have pages for this.
I don't know.
That was a shoulder shrug. That was my method of communication there.
What about Petit Verdot? Do you think that's in this?
Do you think I would have Petit Verdot after we just had the arsonist on here?
And Petit Verdot would be such a small component.
But there's five wines in this.
That's what
if
he
we
means.
If we get two or three, I think we'd be okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, I would agree. It's a small component. But I was going to try to get all five.
That's an achiever right there. Why don't you just figure out where it's from, first of all? I don't think you guys can do that.
This is a Gruner Valley.
It might be. You might. I would think, from the Finger Lakes. Try that. Jesus. Okay. Well, folks.
I like the Grenache.
Yeah.
Syrah. Tempranillo from Spain.
Okay.
Grenache. I'm having a hard time getting to Tempranillo.
We can leave it out.
You should. Or not. Maybe there's Folgers coffee in it.
Did you think about that? Spanish.
Olay.
I love how you're so mean about us, like, hurrying up.
Well, I mean, there's some sulfites in this wine. And, like, I might actually spontaneously combust. But I'm going to keep drinking it.
I would love to get
not because
one
I like
more.
It.
Do you think there's Cab Franc in it?
Hmm.
Strawberry, raspberry, bell pepper, which I don't get. Crushed gravel, chili pepper.
Mm.
But I do feel like it's often blended.
Sure.
It is often blended. That is true.
It is grown in Spain.
It's grown about everywhere.
Yep. Hmm.
I think we should not get too crazy with the blends. I agree the...
I think I would guess predominant Grenache, and I think I would probably put Cab Franc in there somewhere. And it's a lighter, not light, lighter body, but it is more medium bodied.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, our contestants here
are... I love how you're censoring us.
No, no. Are going to announce their decision. Mm. And then... we will reveal what this wine is.
And I'll be able to read by...
You made us do this episode.
I know I did.
You're so terrible to us. And then you're like, okay, figure it out already.
I know, for Christ's sake. There's only like 10 million wines it could be. What's that? It's damn tough.
So we'll be right back here.
There's so many wines in this book I've never even heard of before.
Cabernet, yeah. You haven't read that one. Okay.
This one, Zeno Mavro.
I don't know that one either. Here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So, first of all, we're going to give, we'll all give our scores, and then they're going to, in a roundabout fashion, reveal what they think it is, and then I'll reveal what I think it is, and then we'll come back with our parting thoughts.
Quite exhausted, aren't we? Aren't we not quite exhausted, Triple B?
I'm exhausted.
I would say I'm exhausted of the wine guy.
Yep, I was going to say, because he's quite exhausting. It's funny you say that.
Kiss my entire ass. So,
well,
go over to Triple B. What is your... My entire ass, except for that part. What is your score for this wine?
Let me take one more drink.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's safe to say we've all enjoyed this. I think it's not the most complex thing, mm-hmm. in my opinion, but it's straightforward. We enjoyed it. And it has done some different things in the glasses. It's opened up. I've enjoyed this. It's easy.
It is easy.
I think it's straightforward and easy, and whatever it is, I would enjoy it again.
So what's your score?
It's not this incredible wine. I've got it. I go 87, 88, and I'm 87. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The drinkability factor is high, and it doesn't mean that it's worn at a 90.
I gave it an 87.2. I'll talk about it later when we actually reveal it, but 87.
I was giving it an 87. That's kind of annoying that I went last.
But
just copying off us?
No, because of you. but anyways, I was going to give it an 87. I think that it's interesting with the black licorice and whatever the fig piece is in it. I don't think it's overly complex. It's medium bodied. But yeah, I think, again, I would enjoy it. Again, this isn't really the normal glass I would gravitate towards, but I'm finding that I am enjoying it.
Okay.
So.
Let's talk out loud about this blend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What is the varietal or blend for this?
Well, we're going to talk through this a little more. I like this for some type of French-style blend from somewhere else.
Oh, like imitating?
Just in the style.
Like a Bordeaux style blend from... Oh, that's it. What'd you just do?
I was swatting. I don't know what at.
I thought you were giving me a hand signal.
No, I think
that's actually a really good call. A Bordeaux style blend from...
Not France.
Uh-huh. That's
so
a great call.
Is Grenache the dominant grape? I don't know. I think we're both, mm-hmm. the looking at it.
Yep.
I think it's a reasonable thing that...
Do you think it could be like a Grenache Merlot?
I think we should stick with that Syrah.
Oh.
Is that the second varietal? I don't know. What else we want to put in there? I'm kind of sold on those two things.
You're kind of sold on Syrah and...
Grenache.
Okay.
They make sense. I think
mm-hmm.
it's grapes that go well together.
You mean a Rhone? blend, because that'd be Rhone.
That'd be very Rhone-ish. But yeah, Rhone. So do we, and you like...
What would be a Bordeaux style blend?
Cab, Merlot, Cab Franc, more Petit Verdot, Cab Merlot Black.
Now do we...
A Cab Franc Merlot blend?
Do we want to...
That would be Bordeaux, yeah.
Yeah, do we want to put a Merlot in there? Do we want to put a Cab Franc in there? I don't have anything that screams at me that of those grapes. They're just typically blending and how we could even pick those things out.
To me, Syrah is just a lot bigger.
It can be, but remember we're having a, as Rob said, five varietals in this blend. So
yeah.
What I don't get out of this is something that's overly dry. So if we're going to go Merlot, it's going to be a lesser quantity in the wine. It makes up less of the volume. It's going to be a lower percentage.
Also, it could be just a warm climate Merlot that produces a bumper crop that is juicy.
A warmer climate Merlot like an Argentinian?
Or Baja. One of the two. My Arizona. I mean,
you know.
Yeah. A Nicaraguan.
Could be. From you know, Costa Rica. In the hearts of Brazil.
What do you think of this French style blend?
I love the idea of it being a French style blend. I don't know that I can be sold on Syrah because it just is so light in body. That's the hang up for me, is it being Syrah.
But you've never had a Syrah. Well, I've had some shitty light ass Syrahs too. Remember the wine in a sack? Remember that?
I must have blacked it out.
Well, then we have the Syrah in the queue.
Was it in a woven one?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
The Cabernet though. But Scott bought the Syrah, so we'll get that for you.
You bought it in a woven bag thing?
It's a sack, yeah. It's glued at the bottom. Yeah, it's nice.
How does it sit up, or does it just lay down?
It does. It sits up.
It's esoteric packaging.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm glad you bought it, because I know if I had seen it, I would have also bought it, but it's going to be gross.
It's cheap. Yeah. No. The Cab wasn't awful. It was fine. We've had worse. We've had so much worse.
We've had so much. Let's get to it. I think I wouldn't get too tied up in the Syrah making it a heavier wine or a less dense wine, because it's a blend.
So you're saying number one, Syrah?
No, I like Grenache.
Okay.
I like Grenache as the major component. I don't know why you've sold me on it.
Do you have a percentage for that? That won't count, but, you know, throw out a number. Didn't count. I'm just curious what you think it is.
I'd say 45.
45?
Fair enough.
Okay. Then what's the second?
I'm going to have to get to 100, so I'm just going to have to do some math.
We won't do that.
So, do you think there's Syrah in there? Mm-hmm. At what percentage?
Syrah.
I like the primary component to be 45 to 55%.
Of Syrah?
Of the Grenache.
Okay.
45 to 55, and then the secondary component, 35 to 45.
Okay.
And then everything else falls out in the wash.
So, you want to say 35 for Syrah?
35 to 45.
I still feel like that's...
Okay, and then what are the other five? We won't put percentages on them, so we
I would
other
say five Petit Verdot five or Petit something Verdot, like that. I feel like, or Petit Syrah, one of those I feel like is always a 5% at the end, maybe 3% at the end.
A twinkle of Petit Verdot. If you're going to go classic, you're going to go Petit Verdot and Cab Franc.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Cab Franc.
Yeah, and I feel like there is going to be a Merlot or something in there.
Merlot or Malbec.
Yeah, I think either one. Which one do you want to do?
Malbec?
We're just pulling shit out of our ass.
Same Merlot.
Merlot, okay.
Because that's lighter.
All right. So then, where's it from?
Hold on. So we're saying officially Grenache.
Syrah.
Then Syrah.
And then yada, yada, yada of the other three.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I would say... did we say Malbec or...
I said Merlot. If I had to guess, I would guess a Malbec.
Okay, let's do Malbec.
Malbec.
Grenache, Syrah, Malbec.
Petit Verdot.
Do you think there's a Cab Franc in there?
Mm-hmm.
Cab Franc.
If we're going to pick five, I like those five. In our theory that this is a French-style blend, from France.
Okay. And so where do you think that would be from?
I got to go Cali.
Yeah, I do too. I was so nervous you were going to say somewhere. I don't know where, but I
don't know where else
you
go from. Where else are you going to find a French style blend with all that stuff in there?
Yeah.
I guess Chile, Argentina, something like that.
Mars.
But,
What'd you say? You
Mars. Mars.
Oh.
Yeah, on Mars. Texas. Mars might be more likely. Jupiter.
I feel like there could possibly be some kind of Argentinian element because we get tripped up on Argentina.
Is this because of the Falklands? That was a long time ago.
So let's,
Chilean,
let's
but
go.
I just don't get anything vegetal at all.
Well, but that's fine. I don't think we necessarily have to be just because from South America have a vegetal thing. So let's go for our second choice.
Okay.
And let's go now for something completely different.
Okay.
What?
I like it for a South American.
Well, you're switching to South America from
We're
Kelly?
Making two choices.
We're just talking.
We're making two choices.
Leave us alone.
Yeah. Just draw a second line on the sand. Just take your page and run a line through it. And on the right-hand
South
side.
South America.
Okay.
Okay. Now, where is it really from?
So we're going to go Malbec and...
What? Oh, no, God. No. Don't do another blend. I'll die along... No. No. It takes you guys 50 years to
You're
come
the
up
one
with...
that picked this.
You only know five wines in to begin with. No. Okay. So Callie said, where is it really from? Damn it. Just tell me.
Argentina.
Well, no. What part of Cali? Yes.
I feel like it has to be Napa. Sonoma,
yep. I'm there.
Okay.
So you think it's north. I'm sorry. What we're doing.
We're going to say the Americas.
Okay. Well, you did up here.
Cali.
And then
we're
you think it's from Napa.
Napa.
Okay. Any other further details?
I
think it's American oaked.
I think it's a blend.
You always do that.
Well, I think it's a combination of French and American oak.
Okay.
And I also like it for a reserve.
Huh?
All from one vineyard.
That's like a state?
A state,
excuse me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't cost us any points if we're wrong.
Nope. That's a good point. I was going to say, because that doesn't make sense.
And what would you say the ABV is?
Let's go American, so it's going to be start with a 14.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't taste super boozy to me. You want to say 14.5?
Okay.
Let's go even a little lower. 14?
14.2.
Okay.
Okay.
Price range.
Oh.
Yeah, how much do you think it costs?
I'm going to say 17. $16.99.
You think $16.99?
$17.99. What do you think?
You know what I think this is?
Mm.
I think this is the Hitching Post Red Blend. Let's go a little more.
How much?
How much was that? I don't remember. I don't remember how much it was. We looked it up and talked about it one night.
Where the fuck would I get another bottle of that from?
I'd be so pissed if you're right.
The next gen red or the gen red? Oh my gosh, you're so smart.
How much do you think it is? $21.99.
I forget how much it is.
It
was $21.99.
It was?
Yeah.
Are you making that up?
No, it was $21.99.
Okay, I'll go $21.99. So Scott is going to say Hitching Post.
Oh, Hitching Post. That's
it. Or is it Gundlach Bunchu? They have a blend too.
I don't think it's that.
Okay.
No.
That was I felt like really bold and spicy and peppery.
I might pull out my boot knife and get
that
you.
That was like bold and peppery, right?
Yeah. And that, okay. Yeah. All right. So.
Are we finished?
I wouldn't do our South American thing.
No. I would rather die than listen to that.
I bet there are so many listeners driving to work or driving home that want to hear our thoughts.
I think they've heard them. Okay. All right.
I would just love so much feedback from our listeners. If you all were screaming in your car, or if you were like so proud of us.
They're not proud of you.
Yeah,
they're not. You've done about as bad as. First of all, I can tell you right now.
Give us the price first.
It's $48.99.
Whoa! No way.
Yes.
That is a rip off.
Be nice about this wine.
Honestly.
Be nice.
Is it a Turley?
No.
Let me just tell you this. I don't know what it is. I'll be nice.
Be nice.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, the varietals. You named five. You named Grenache, Syrah, Petit Verdot, Cab Franc, and Malbec, all of which are completely incorrect.
What?
You're not even close to any of them. This wine actually, but you did say 45%, which it's not, but it's 44% Zinfandel.
No
20%
way.
Cabernet.
Okay.
18% Petite Syrah. 16% Syrah, so you got that one. I'm sorry, you did get one
right. Well, not really.
And then 2% Charbono, but nobody knows what that tastes like.
It's an Italian.
This is predominantly Zin?
Yes.
That's fair enough.
Well, 44% is strong to say.
So
it is from North America, though.
Cab blend.
And it is from Cali. So there's 30 points for you.
And that same profile we got here is Napa Cab. The
it's so light bodied.
Just remember it's blended.
It's not from Napa. It's actually just a Cali blend. No. But it is French and American oak. So you got that one. It's not. That's it's certainly something. Not an estate wine.
Nope.
It's 15.5% alcohol. And sure as fuck is an hitching post.
What is it?
It's The Prisoner.
Oh my God. We enjoyed this.
By Orin Swift. Well, it's The Prisoner Wine Company.
Interesting.
Yes.
Thank you. Now I can actually read Wine Review. This is Wilford. I gave this wine 93.
This is such an interesting wine to be The Prisoner.
Well,
I'm truly so shocked.
Interesting? Was it interesting simply because we had to do this as a mystery wine?
Yeah, I'm really, really glad you chose this, Rob, because this isn't my normal flavor profile at all.
I also don't
feel like it is the normal flavor profile of Zin or Cab, but it is very drinkable.
Well, I thought that we would be too negative. In a normal sense, this was given to us, but I thought we made fun of it. Yes,
I thought
introducing it in a neutral setting where I couldn't even be mean.
My God, why would you be mean?
Because I am. But I thought introducing it in this session,
I've
if it was
never
good,
known you to be mean.
If it were bad, it were bad. It's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. If it's somewhere in between, it's in between. But there was nothing tainting that. So there you go.
That was a good choice. This was a great choice.
But Wilford did give it 93 of his points. That's right. Don't. Anyway, I said commentary.
Who owns The Prisoner?
Constellation.
Yeah.
But it's
Orin Swift.
Yeah, but he bought it from Dave Finney. Dave Finney is who Orin Swift. He owns Orin Swift. He created Orin Swift.
Could The Prisoner Red Blend be in the proverbial sweet spot? I like the sweet spot, Scott. You know that. Since its arrival to the marketplace in 2000, this wine became an instant star. Albeit controversial in some quarters of the wine world because of perceived sweetness. Many of my closest wine pals that I murdered also decried that this wine was too extracted.
I wouldn't. Anyway.
Too extracted.
Yeah.
While this wine flirts a bit beyond the standard threshold residual sugar level, this wine is pretty tasty and dry in a new world way.
Then, I can't even understand the words you're saying.
That's because I'm Wilford, and you...
You said tasty and dry in a new world way.
Let me try to say it in a Russian accent for you. Anyway, the 19 vintage is this wine's best effort to date, and it signals a long journey to become a wine that everyone can wrap their palate around and not this wine brings the force of bold black fruit, savory spices, and oak onto the palate.
Wait, read that last sentence again in normal voice.
This is my voice. This wine brings the force of bold black fruit, savory spices, and oak onto the palate.
I did not get.
No one got that. I sniff glue. And I like to use gold paint and put it in a bag. I'm a huffer. So, you know. Then I drink wine. So that's great.
Well,
strangely enough, Scott, I was in Kansas City.
Were you in Kansas City?
Yeah, I was. And I went to the Red Roof Inn.
Did you end up in a hotel room?
I did. And there was a Czechoslovakian guy named Tony, which is odd. And he spoke with an accent I couldn't quite place. But anyway, he roofied me. But then I woke up, and then they made me drink The Prisoner, and it was okay. I was missing my liver, but I never used that before anyway. So
I thought that was your kidney.
No, I lost that before. I go in a lot of unsavory places, so, you know.
But this is savory.
It is.
So, my take on this wine. It's a pleasant drink. 50 bucks, that's pushing.
It's asinine.
That's an asinine price. It's a stylized wine. I find it to be jazzy-ish.
Yeah. Not jazzy, Syrah jazzy.
No.
Different jazzy.
No.
But it's different.
And The Prisoner makes everything. The Prisoner is, since Constellation got its claws into it, there's the Prisoner red wine, which used to be The Prisoner. They make a Prisoner Cabernet. They make a Pinot Noir. They make a Chardonnay. They have Unshackled. They have Saldo is another one that they make. And so Unshackled is like half this price. But it's one of these things where it's perfectly drinkable. The one thing I'll say is there's nothing offensive about it. Yes, they say that, it's sweet. The residual sugar isn't really high here. I've had...
Not at all.
Like when you guys were in the Grenache realm, the Anciano, we've had Grenaches that did taste... I wasn't like going to beat you up, because we've had Grenaches that tasted like this. It does kind of taste like a weird mutt because of all the things that are in it.
Oh, it is a weird mutt.
Well, it is a weird mutt. But...
It is something that I think we could add on to further details would be like what conglomerate owns it or if it's an indie wine.
Yeah, you could throw that out there. Yeah.
I think that would be something interesting. I would never have guessed this to be a Constellation wine.
Most of them are.
I know, but it just, a lot of them are sugary or taste mass produced. I don't know that this does.
I think in the past that it was more Zen. Less cab, and I think it was
manipulated.
Well, even then, yes, Purple Death is strong here, but it was a bit sweeter in the past. That's why Wilford is in his
yes,
in all of his charms, is saying these things because this is the best one because it is less Prisoner-esque than it was in the past. The Spectator also reviewed this one; they gave it 88 of their points. They kind of said a lot of things, same things we said.
That's going to be as low a score as a Spectator gives for a wine with this
price,
national prominence.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're looking at. I mean, it's how many you can buy this everywhere. Everywhere. There's nothing here, though, quite frankly, that should cost $50. I don't think. I mean,
no, never, never in a million years. Does this make me want to buy it? No, it's $50.
Well, it's $50. I mean,
$50 is a lot.
It is. It's an interesting...
I will say the label's really pretty. It really is. I'm a big fan of the label. I think it's a beautiful wine.
I wonder what 8 years in the desert tastes. Is that what it is? Eight days in the Superstar is obsessed with that wine. And I know other people that are obsessed with that wine. Whether or not, and that's cheaper than this.
Yep.
So, you know...
What's the other one? They got some interesting labels, right?
You've had Mannequin. We've had
Machete.
Machete, yes.
Yeah, and it was...
You mispronounced it.
I haven't had it.
Fine.
Good. It's fine. It's a white.
It was fine.
It's Mannequin is another one. We had Bayonet. That was his work, Finney's efforts with somebody in France, and it was corked. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was terrible. And then they also do those... Finney's involved in those things in Kroger's that have like the... What is it? Locations wines. So it has like France, California. It's a white label, and then it's called Locations.
I don't know the Locations.
Yeah, I don't
either. You'd recognize them. They're like a bell shaped bottle, and they have like the white label, and they'll have like a Spain. Bell? What's that?
A bell shaped bottle.
Well, like a Pinot looking bottle. You know what I mean?
Oh,
tapered.
I thought it was like a ding dong bell.
Well, it might taste like that, but I mean that's what they got. So. Okay. He's got his hands in a lot of different things, but this is the OG. So that's what it is.
Yeah, interesting. I'm glad we drank this. This was a great wine to pick.
It was fun.
Here's a question, folks. If somebody liked this, what should we tell them to drink that's a lot cheaper? Becky. Ooh. Oh, no. I'll go over to Scott first. Give Becky a chance to think. Scott. No, you know. Go ahead, Becky. We're a fan. I know sometimes you don't like it when I put you on the spot.
Well...
I'm sorry, Scott doesn't know either. Go back.
So Zin cab wine.
You don't have to do a Zin cab.
You insulted both of us so much. Becky likes to think. And then you just were like, Scott, now you answer.
Scott, they can't. So, you know.
Yeah, I have seen those locations. They're not as prominent as I think you think.
I see them at all the Krogers around here.
I've seen the NZ.
Maybe you averted your gaze. Might be what it is. You're like, God. Fuck, I don't want to buy that. And you just look. They're even on closeout. I still don't buy them.
I don't.
Hey, Becky, you want some more?
No.
Texas red wine. Ooh.
Texas red wine.
Yeah, it's one of the location series. It's really, there's so many things.
What?
The red gin blend.
Yeah, the gin blend is a good choice. That's a choice. That definitely is a choice.
Bunchu.
Well, yeah, but Gunlock Bunchu is far more traditional in Cab Merlot, and those are Bordeaux varietals. These are Cali varietals. We'll call this the Cali blend because, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, some places... Zin and Cab, yeah, you can blend those together, but they're the ones really that do it. Turley doesn't do it. Anything Turley. Any Zins, anything from Ridge. Anything from Ridge.
You guys are picking like really high-end wine.
Ridge Three Valleys.
Is how much?
$33.
Yeah, 30. And it does have Cab in it too, doesn't it? Is that a Cab Zin blend?
Look in there. I have like a bunch of bottles of that. Dry Creek Zinfandel.
That's not a comparable.
It's 70-some percent. It's got Zin in it.
No, it does. Those are Zins, but that's not a comparable. This is just so much different.
You mean easier laid back.
Yeah, it's 73 Zin.
Because this is an easy laid back drink.
I mean, but
a lot of, like, Dry Creek Zin is still pretty fruit forward. This has fruit, but it's not the same Zin fruit.
It's not the same flavor profile. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just telling you what you said.
Mm-hmm. Cooper Hawk has a Cab Zin blend. I've never had it. You know.
It might be.
It might be.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a direct comparison because that Zin Cab blend, I don't recall.
I know.
The driver of that.
Well, somehow.
And when I've had other Zin Cab blends, I feel like they've been a little bit bigger. This to me is on the lighter side.
Yeah,
well, it's skirting that line between being offensive to me with residual sugar. I mean,
it's not sugary at all.
No, it has nuances that people that want something that's softer and fruitier and sweeter will gravitate to while not doing that.
Yeah,
it's so wonderful how he just described.
Well, I'm just...
Our reaction to him, exactly. Uh-huh. He skirts that line of being offensive to us.
That's right.
Well, no, he doesn't actually, does he?
No, yeah, I don't try. I ain't skirt no fucking lines. Yeah.
Yeah, you cross that fucking line.
Go guess Pinot Noir again.
I mean, I think that Ridge Three Valleys is a nice comparable, particularly for the price point.
Oh, yeah.
But it's different. It really is different.
Yeah. That was more. That was actually a little more emulation of French wine.
I was thinking Pride. That's why I was so confused on what we were talking about. Ridge.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I'm there now mentally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
That's why I was when you said the price. I was like, "That's."
I'm sure in Italy somewhere they're doing a Primitivo Cab blend that's more affordable than this, and probably. Just as good, if not better, and similarly not full-bodied. I don't have a direct comparison.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing the Sean Miner. He has that red blend that we have in there. We'll see how that. We should have done that back to back because that is. I think that's Zin in this. So that'll be interesting, or not. People go, you have Sean Miner wines on the show. That's right. What is that? I don't know. So you know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, then we're going to come back with some quick parting thoughts here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So one thing I will say, because we were talking off air a little bit briefly about some other comps, Harvey and Harriet's wine. Who's that by? Well, Harvey and Harriet, but
it's Harvey and Harriet. My Favorite Neighbor.
My Favorite Neighbor from Paso. That actually is a something that's $15-16 cheaper than this. That's another thing. I think it's a little bit bigger, a little richer. But that's a good one. Paso wines are very much like
but
that.
Again, it doesn't
Triana.
It's not that Cab Zin blend.
No,
but
no,
it's 40 Cab, 20 Syrah, and then 10.
But nobody said that, nobody said that you should have the Zin and the Cab.
It's
that's
the
their
more
mistake.
Straightforward French style blend, but
a little more with
where you would find mm-hmm. this in France: 40% Cab, 20 Syrah, 10 Petite Syrah, 10 Cab Franc, 10 Petit Verdot, 10 Malbec.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it is.
But nevertheless, Prisoner, the Prisoner Wine Company, Constellation, the Illuminati, as we would say, has made a wine that I understand why people would buy. It's expensive, but that's fine. And it's a perfectly drinkable, as I mean, the decanter's dry. Becky drank it. Scott drank it. I drank it, even though I knew what it was the whole time. So
it's enjoyable. It's,
no, it's
easy.
Let it open up. It has to open up. It softens up, and it's a very, very drinkable wine. Very drinkable wine. It's not offensive. It doesn't really have, and you know the old adage of well, you know, or you know, the Prisoner is a residual sugar bomb. No, this isn't really. I mean, there is some ripe fruit. It has some, as Becky said, the date and the, you know, the fig Newton, the figgy kind of plummy pruniness. It has all those, but it doesn't have any overt manipulated residual sugar. I'm sure the residual sugar levels are a little bit higher than they normally are, but it doesn't taste over-extracted. No, this isn't over-extracted. No. None of those things. I mean, this is a fairly ruby-esque kind of color. It has a little bit of translucence. It's nothing offensive, and it's a perfectly, I understand why people would drink it, you know? Unlike the arsonist, why I don't understand why anybody would drink it unless they smoke a lot. So, with that, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.